The first testament reading is Genesis 3, verses 1 through 7, which can be found on page 2 of the Old Testament of your Bible. Please listen for the word of the Lord. Now the serpent was more crafty than any other wild animal that the Lord God had made. He said to the woman, "Did God say you shall not eat from any tree in the garden?" The woman said to the serpent, "We may eat of the fruit of the trees in the garden, but God said you shall not eat of the fruit of the tree that is in the middle of the garden, nor shall you touch it, or you shall die." But the serpent said to the woman, "You will not die, for God knows that when you eat of it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil." So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was a delight to the eyes, and that the tree was to be desired to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate. And she also gave some to her husband who was with her, and he ate. Then the eyes of both were opened, and they knew they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made loincloths for themselves. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. This morning we begin a new sermon series called Being Human. And what it does is it juxtaposes six, because we only have 6 weeks till Easter, six of the seven deadly sins with six of the Beatitudes, looking at how the seven deadly sins sort of rob us of our humanity and the Beatitudes help us to regain it. And so we begin this morning, we're going to be beginning with the first Beatitude, and then I'm going to read another very, very familiar story out of the New Testament. So let us listen to the word of God from Matthew 5. When Jesus saw the crowds, he went up the mountain, and after he sat down, his disciples came to him. Then he began to speak and taught them, saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." And now to the Gospel of Luke, chapter 15. Then Jesus said, "There was a man who had two sons. The younger of them said to his father, 'Father, give me the share of the property that will belong to me.' So the father divided his property between them. A few days later, the younger son gathered all he had and traveled to a distant country, and there he squandered his property in dissolute living. When he had spent everything, a severe famine took place throughout that country, and he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to one of the citizens of that country, who sent him to his field to feed the pigs. He would gladly have filled himself with the pods that the pigs were eating, but no one gave him anything. But when he came to himself, he said, 'How many of my father's hired hands have bread enough and to spare? But here I'm dying of hunger. I will get up and I will go to my father and I will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. Treat me like one of your hired hands.' So he set off and went to his father. But while he was still far off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion. He ran and put his arms around him and kissed him. Then the son said to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son.' But the father said to his slaves, 'Quickly, bring out a robe, the best one, and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. And get the fatted calf and kill it, and let us eat and celebrate. For this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. and they began to celebrate. The word of the Lord. She is 17 years old, 5 feet 5 inches tall, weighs in at a svelte 117 pounds, and just won a gold medal in the half pipe competition at the Olympics. Chloe Kim, amazing young woman. And I was watching an interview she did with Lester Holt, and Lester asked her this question. He said, okay, so you knew after the second run that you had the gold medal won, and yet you risked everything on that last run. Why did you do it? She said, well, I'm not out to beat anybody. That's not what I'm here for. I am here to do the best that I can do. And I thought I could do better. And then, kind of with this little smile that sort of turns up the edge of her mouth, she says, and I'm pretty proud of myself. So what's wrong with that? What's wrong with Chloe Kim being proud of herself? I ask that because if you notice in the bulletin, we're beginning this series on the seven deadly sins with the sin of pride. And pride for the early church was sort of that foundational sin. It was the sin that served as the basis for virtually every other sin. And if you go and do a search of the scriptures and put in pride, what you'll see is 90%+ of the time, pride is always seen negatively. So the question is, what's wrong with having some pride? How many of you have ever been proud for something you've done? Come on, let's be honest, right? I actually fixed a toilet by myself once. I was extraordinarily proud when it worked. And if we have children, we teach our children to take pride in what they do. Pride in their work. Pride in their accomplishments. So what's wrong with pride? And the answer is nothing. As long as it doesn't go to the dark side. Those of you who are fans of Star Wars know where I'm going with this. That pride, just like the Force, has a dark side to it. Pride, in and of itself, is okay. That basic sense of pride comes out of our love for ourselves. And I know that may sound odd in a church, love of self, and yet Jesus, as well as the Torah, teach that we are to love neighbor as we love ourselves. Right. We are God's children, wonderfully and fearfully made by a loving God, and God has poured out God's Spirit within us and made us God's own children. And so it's okay to be proud of the things that we do. The problem is, pride has this way of moving to the dark side. We begin by being reasonably proud over some accomplishment. But then pride whispers to us, oh, you're not really proud enough. You need to be more proud than that. And so we say, I'm really good. And then pride says, oh, no, that's not enough. You are really good. You need to be prouder of yourself. And, oh, yeah, man, I am amazing. And then pride keeps going. And you begin to say, not only am I amazing, I am the most amazing. This is the dark side of pride. And what it does is it does three things. As the dark side of pride begins to grow, what happens is we begin to look down on and demean other people. I am so good that I am better than all of those people. Those people can't hold a candle to me. I am just so much better. And so we look down on them. And then what happens is that looking down on them leads to us breaking relationship with them. I don't need those people. I'm better, I'm smarter, I'm just all around better than anything they are. I don't need them, and so I can look down on them. And so, yeah, I don't need anyone else's advice. I don't need anyone else's help. I am perfection in itself. And then where those two things lead is they lead to the destruction of our very humanity. Because in Scripture and in our tradition, to be fully human means to love God and to love neighbor. It means to live in relationship with God, in relationship with neighbor. It means to be in community, that none of us can be fully human on our own as isolated individuals. And so our humanity begins to dissolve the more inward we turn with this dark side of pride. And if you want to see it at work, all we have to do is turn to this story in the Gospel of Luke. Okay? This very famous story called the Prodigal Son. And let's watch how this works. So to begin with, sort of to set the scene, we have to understand that both sons are living on the dark side of pride. And we know this because of what happens in the story. So it begins with the younger son demeaning and looking down on his father, his older brother, and God. And all of this happens when he turns to his father and says, "Dad, give me what I would have when you die." What he's doing is saying to his father, "You're already dead to me. You're dead. I'm good. I deserve this already." Whatever it was he thought he had done, it doesn't matter. He deserved it. His dad didn't deserve it. And his father is dead. And so he demeans his father. And at the same time, he demeans his brother. Because his brother, is the older brother, is entitled to the first share of the inheritance. And he ignores his older brother. He says, "I want mine before he gets his." And then he demeans God. Because God has said, "Honor your father and your mother, that your days shall be long in the land that I give you." And by demeaning his father, he demeans God. And so you can see this dark side of pride welling up, and he's looking down on his father, his brother, and even on God. Step two, this breaking of relationship happens when he goes to the distant country. Jesus is such an amazing storyteller. This image of the distant country. For anyone who is Jewish and listening to this story, what that means is, the younger son heads out to a country so far away that not only has he abandoned his family and his friends and his community, but he has abandoned God. Because God is in the land to travel to that distant country where there's strangers and strange gods. And so he breaks all of his relationships. He doesn't need his father's advice. He doesn't need his community. He doesn't even need his own God. He's got it going on. But then what happens? So, squanders everything he has, goes to work as a servant. And where does he end up? He ends up in the squalor with the pigs. He's no longer a son, he's a slave. He is no longer free, he's a slave. And he would have loved, as Jesus tells the story, he would have loved to have eaten the pods that the pigs ate, but no one gave him anything. He has totally, completely lost his humanity. He is no better than the pigs in the pen, willing to stoop down and eat their food. This is what the dark side of pride does to us. And let me be clear. The dark side of pride is not limited to people of a certain income level or a certain race or a certain religion or a certain ethnic identity or a certain skin color or a certain gender or a certain sexual orientation. It's there just waiting. It's there just like the snake is sort of hanging out in the garden waiting for Eve to wander by. The dark side of pride is there waiting to suck us in and send us away from God and neighbor. So what's the antidote? What's the antidote? How do we avoid the dark side of pride? Or if not avoid it, at least bring it back where it ought to be. The answer comes from Jesus in the first beatitude. It is poverty of spirit. Now I can just hear inside you, those walls are coming up. What do you mean poor in spirit? What do you mean poverty of spirit? We're supposed to be spiritual giants. We're supposed to be spiritual winners. We're supposed to be these people who are so filled with God that everything is just fine. What do you mean I'm supposed to go out and become poor in spirit? I'm supposed to somehow go search after or seek being poor in spirit. Let me be clear. Poverty of spirit is not something you chase. It's something you embrace. It's not something you chase. It's something you embrace. Because, my friends, we are all poor in spirit. No matter how great we think we are, successful we think we are, wonderful we think we are, deep inside, there's a place of fear. Deep inside, there's a place of brokenness. Deep inside, there is a place of anger. Deep inside is a place of loneliness. Deep inside is a place where poverty of spirit lies. All of us. And if we want to regain the fullness of our humanity, if we want to return to where God wants us to be, to that kingdom of heaven, that community, that wonderful community of God, then what we have to do is we have to embrace this poverty of spirit. And if you want to see how that works, back to the story. So, he's lost his humanity. He's living with the pigs. He wants to eat the pods because he's starving to death. And what happens? He comes to himself. A literal translation is he comes into his right mind and he sees his own poverty. He sees the reality of where this dark side of pride has led him. And so he begins practicing this speech for his father. Dad, listen, I've sinned against heaven and I've sinned against you and I don't deserve to be your son. And listen, I'll live as a servant, as a slave, just just give me something to eat. I'm empty, literally empty inside. And so he leaves the far country and he comes home. And he's, you can just see him practicing this speech over and over and over. And his father sees him coming on the edge of the hill. And his father doesn't wait for him to get there saying, well, let's see what he has to say. The father runs to him. The father runs to him and embraces him. And he starts going into his speech, well, listen, Dad, I've sinned against heaven and I've sinned against you. Just make me a servant. And the dad says, nothing doing. You are my son. And he has them bring out the cloak and he has them bring out the ring and they kill the fatted calf and they have a party. And he says, listen, the one who is dead is alive. The one who is lost is found because he has come home. And he understands what poverty of spirit is about. And by doing that, he opens himself up to the love of the Father. And he's embraced by the Father and the community. And once again, he is fully alive. The one who's dead is now alive. His humanity is back. The dark side of pride. It's there. It is waiting for us. It is always nipping at our heels. It's always whispering in our ears. The challenge for us is instead of embracing the dark side of pride, it is to embrace poverty of spirit and to acknowledge we need God. We need others. We need the community. We need those who will love us and pray for us and walk with us. And in so doing, we find a depth of humanity and a place in God's kingdom. And so my challenge for you for this week is this. To ask yourself, how am I embracing poverty of spirit that I might be open to being embraced by God? And by those whom God sends me. Let us pray. Gracious God, we give you thanks that you seek us and call us. Help us to acknowledge that we are people who need you, who need others, who need your spirit. And in so doing, find our humanity once again. In Christ's name, amen.